Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You'll hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
Mark chapter 3. You're going to find another occasion where Jesus was angry. Look at verse 1. At another time he went into the synagogue and a man with a shriveled hand was there. Some of them were looking for a reason to accuse Jesus, so they watched him closely to see if he would heal this man with the shriveled hand on the Sabbath. Because on the Sabbath, no work was supposed to be done, right? So they were watching him closely and looking for a reason. They were looking for Jesus to finally do something wrong where they could catch him at it. So they watched him close, and Jesus said to the man with the shriveled hand, "Stand up in front of everyone." Then Jesus asked them, those who were trying to trap him and accuse him and watch him closely, "Which is lawful on the Sabbath? Which is lawful on the day of rest? To do good or to do evil? To save life or to kill?" They remained silent. He looked around at them in anger and deeply distressed at their stubborn hearts and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out and his hand was completely restored. Then the Pharisees, the religious leaders, went out, those who were watching him, they went out and began to plot with the Herodians how they might kill Jesus. Once again, the thing that Jesus got so angry about, that this righteous indignation rose up in him, was that people resisted and oppressed someone else. Here is a man who has a shriveled hand. And because of his disability, he's never really known a moment's freedom from that or a moment's rest from that. However long he had it, ever since that happened, whether it was from birth or it was an accident or something tragic happened and he had a shriveled hand, ever since that moment, he has never known what a moment's rest or Sabbath really was like. Come Saturday or come Sunday, come any other holy day, he still had a shriveled hand. He still had to deal with it. He was never free from the burden of it. And here's Jesus, and he looks at those who are righteous, holy, those who claim they believe in God, who are so wrapped up in their traditions, their rules, their regulations, that they miss the character, they can't capture the heartbeat and pulse and the Spirit of God, who, by the way, is the one who instituted a Sabbath. Jesus himself is referred to and said that he is the Lord of the Sabbath. And they're more concerned with, well, is he going to break a rule or break a regulation that we have that you can't do work on a Sabbath day? Is he going to do this healing work? So caught up that they miss God. They miss what he wanted to do. And instead they are oppressing somebody who needs a Sabbath. Most of us in this room, we don't know what it is to go through life with a major disability. Oh, there's some in this room, and some of us have some aches and pains and things like that. But we don't know what it is in this room for us to go through life with a shriveled hand. And the burden of that, never knowing rest from it. And Jesus looks at this man, who the Lord of the Sabbath is, Jesus, and he says, "It is better on the Sabbath to give life than to withhold life. It is better to give rest and freedom than to be strapped with some rules and regulations that structure out the very heart of God. And Jesus got angry. But his righteous indignation drove him to do what was right. And even though there were those who were ready to accuse, Jesus healed the man. And from that day forward, that man knew what a Sabbath day meant. Because he no longer had to deal with the heavy burden of having a shriveled hand. He had two good, normal hands. Jesus was not angry with the man. He was angry with the people who would continue to oppress someone and rob someone of the opportunity that God was trying to provide for them. In those moments, Jesus got very angry. What are the things that make you angry? What are the things that make you mad? In the Old Testament, there is a prophet of God. His name is Jonah. And God and Jonah have this conversation, and God is telling Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, and I want you to declare that to the people in Nineveh that they have been living wrong, and I want them to repent. And Jonah gets very upset. He gets angry. Now, I'm not taking time to read this because you should read the book of Jonah. So I'm going to paraphrase this for you and just give you little snapshots of what's going on. Jonah gets very angry. He does not want to go there and do this. He was not happy with his job. He was not happy with what he was told or asked to do. How many of you are always happy with what you're told or asked to do? So you know what he does? He tells God, I'm not going. And he heads down and gets a boat and tries to sail for another port. And of course, you know what happens, right? They throw him overboard. A great fish swallows him. He's in the belly of this fish for 3 days, 3 nights, and then gets vomited up on shore. Living in rebellion, rebelled against, disobeyed what God asked, what God told. And he was angry about it. And finally he comes to his senses in the midst of his rebellion and says, okay, I will go. And he goes to Nineveh and he proclaims the word of the Lord. And what happens? The people listen and they repent. And Jonah still walks away angry. Angry because in his estimation, because you would think that he didn't want to go there to this city and do this job because he was afraid to do it. That wasn't it. He was already a prophet of God. Do you understand that his whole calling was going and declaring God's word to people? He was not afraid to go and yell the message of repentance. It's that he thought the people of Nineveh don't deserve, if they repent, don't deserve God's forgiveness and kindness. Because he says, after he does it and the people repent, the city repents, he says, I knew it! I knew if I went there and declared your word that they would repent and you would forgive them. And I am not happy about that. Do you understand what got him angry? Was that he had a very different agenda than God. Once again, God looked at these people and said, you are oppressed by your sin. You are being robbed by your own sinfulness and your own way of life. I want you to hear the message that I care about you. And if you come to me and you ask forgiveness and you turn your faith to me, you'll be forgiven and your life will change. That's what God wanted to do. And he was sending Jonah to deliver the message. And Jonah didn't want to go, not because he was afraid. He was angry because he thought, those people, they don't deserve to hear your word. And I know you'll forgive them if they repent. And that upsets me. He was angry about his own estimation and his own agenda his own conclusion about some people. And after it happened, he was still angry. What are the things that make you angry? What are the things that make you mad? Do you understand that your anger, when it's not dealt with properly, that emotion, that anger, do you understand that when it's not in check, and it's the thing that is now this emotion that is leading you, it is leading your thinking, it is leading your response, it is just moving forward. Do you understand that it really hurts you the most? It hurts the people around you. That anger really affects relationships with people. How many of you in this room, anger has gotten the best of you, you didn't deal with it best, and it affected a relationship with somebody around you? My hand's already up. It affects your relationship with God. It affects your relationship with people. And you know, when you try to keep this stuff in check and you don't deal with it. See, we think keeping it in check is we just keep stuffing it. We keep stuffing it. We keep stuffing it. And then do you understand that the tiniest little thing is what pushes you over the edge? You can catch this in yourself this way. You've heard the phrase, no sense crying over spilled milk, right? Heard that phrase, those of you who are 40 and older? What it means is, those of you who are under 40, it just means, why are you getting so upset about spilled milk? Why are you getting so upset about it? You know what happens is something that small can just cause us to blow a gasket because we've been stuffing anger from other stuff during the day. There was a conflict at work. You were asked to do something you didn't want to do. Somebody else offended you. You watched Fox News and something on there got you angry at some politician that you never met. You don't know. You weren't in their meetings. And you're just fit to be tied. You're just pushing off. And you come in and you sit down to dinner and your little 2-year-old, 3-year-old child tips over their glass of milk. And you just blow a gasket. I mean, it's just, what's wrong with you? And can't you, you know, act like an adult. You know, when you're angry, you and I say some really stupid things. The tiniest thing pushes us over the edge because we never dealt with stuff. And here's the thing, it's not just dealing with stuff from the day. There are things that maybe happened in your life, somewhere in your lifetime, that got you so angry, and it's never been resolved, and now time has gone by, and you have lived with this in you. It's just part of you. In fact, you don't even sometimes recognize it or see it in you. But because of that being present and never resolved, it affects your relationships, how you make decisions, how you are ready to receive or reject new people or new ideas or whatever it is. Somebody somewhere hurt you, you got angry, and now you are carrying it with you, it's become a part of you, and you take it out on all kinds of people. Some it's selective people because they remind you to the person who hurt you so bad that you got angry with. And now they're paying for it. It's, you know, you go out with some girl, not my daughter. I'm kidding you. I like you, Zamaripa. You go out with some girl, you really start to like her. I mean, you're starting to, you know, you think it's love because you're young and you don't know what that is. And you got emotions running in you. You can't help but to think about this girl. You think she is it, man. And then the day comes out of nowhere, she dumps you, dude.
that wouldn't happen?
Which part wouldn't happen? The part where the part where you really like her, or the part where she dumps you?
We'll just go on with the story.
And she dumps you. You don't understand it. You think it's impossible, obviously. So shocked, so surprised. You're devastated. You are hurt. And from that moment on, because you started to give your heart away, and man, it was crushed. It was broke. It was disappointed. From that point on, as you continue to date through the rest of your life, because you'll never get married now, because you're arrogant. I'm kidding. Never thinking you'd get dumped. I'm just kidding you. You, all your other dating experiences, you're coming from the point where now I'm going to be guarded. I'm not letting my heart go. And now, finally, the right gal might come along. And you wouldn't recognize it if she slapped you in the face. Because you are looking through this anger that was never resolved. And now you're missing what God has brought into your life. You take it out on women now. Same thing happens to women towards men, or a teacher hurts you and crushes you in class, and now you, not that you just can't stand teachers, you can't stand anybody who's an authority over your life. You try to be, now that you're an adult and you're more mature, you try to be more polite and things like that, but you are not open to them teaching or leading or doing anything. And you just, and you're being robbed. And you're robbing the people around you. Because you have your own agenda. You have your own conclusions. It's never been resolved. And so you don't trust and you don't love to the depths. You're limiting God on how much love that He can lavish on you. It's all there for you, but you are stopping it because you just, you've never dealt with this anger. Maybe you're in this room and you just get angry easy. In fact, on days where nothing's going bad that you can get angry about, you get angry about that. You get angry about stuff that you can't get angry about. You just look angry. Anger really robs you when it's not dealt with properly. If you would look at Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. It's verse 26. In your anger, do not sin. I want us to stop there. Don't read the rest of the verse. Maybe you already know this. That's fine. But in your anger, do not sin. There it is. It's a period. In other words, you can get angry. Something can upset you. It's okay. Do you understand that you were made to get upset? You were made to get angry about certain things. I want you to know that it's okay. However, in your anger, in my anger, we are not supposed to sin. That means that anger cannot lead the way. God has given us a spirit of self-control, a spirit of a sound mind, that no matter what is happening emotionally, We are able, with God's help and His Spirit, His Holy Spirit, that Spirit He has given us, that we can get angry without sinning. The other part is, sometimes we get angry about stuff that we just misunderstood and we shouldn't have got angry to begin with. But when we do get angry, and the anger is validated, not just in your mind, but according to what truth is, and your anger is validated, it does not give you license to do and act however you want. Did you hear that? Even if you are right in your anger, it does not give you a license to act or conduct yourself inappropriately. If you were angered about an issue, and you were angry at people, and you had this big debate, and you came out on the winning side, the top side, the side of right, it does not give you a license to act however you want. Sometimes we take that as a license, as a justifiable reason. Because I was right, I can say and do and act however I want. And that is not the case. Anger is to be controlled by the Spirit of the Lord within you. Let's read on in this verse. I told you that anger has a time frame. It has a time limit. Look at this. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry. Do not go into the dark hours of the night still angry. Your anger has a time frame. And if you get angry, you got to have it resolved before it's dark. So the tip for that is, after you resolved all your anger and there's an hour of daylight left, go be by yourself. I'm just kidding you, man. You don't want to get upset 5 minutes to dark. The point is, don't go to sleep being angry. Don't close your day with the people who you love and live with angry. It's so much better to go to bed happy. And if you can't go to bed happy, at least go to bed at peace. Sleep is so much better. Things are better. I've gone to bed angry. I've gone to bed without being at peace. I know what it does. Your anger has a time frame. It's by the time you go to bed or by dark that same day. And yet there are those of us in this room who have been carrying anger over something way beyond that. Not like one day, 2 days, not like a week, not like months, not just like a year, but for years. The buzzer went off. You were supposed to resolve this a long time ago. You were supposed to resolve it by the end of that day. Because the sentence doesn't end there. It says, in your anger do not sin, period. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, comma. And do not give the devil a foothold. If we do not resolve our anger by the end of the day, you go to bed with this in your soul, in your mind, in your emotions. Not only do you not sleep well, but during the darkness, spiritual darkness, begins to work. Of that which you did not resolve in the light. And it begins to build. And it begins to build. And you just think it's your mind and you're setting your case. I'm telling you, the demonic forces of hell join in with what has made you angry. They just join in and they get you so worked up. They get you so angry. They get you so bent. They begin to build this argument and this feeling within you that it begins to distort your view, and you don't know it's being distorted, and you think you are seeing clearly. And so you operate according to what you see is clear, but it's not clear. In our minds it's clear, but it is not clear. It has become so distorted and so bent. Listen, do you know what revenge is? Revenge is best left in God's hands. God talks about it in Scripture. Leave revenge to God. He'll satisfy. He will satisfy. Revenge is not your business. You've heard phrases like, you know what, that's none of your business. You keep your nose out, that's none of your business. Here's the parameter, here's the line, that's none of your business. You know what, that's how we need to see revenge. Oh, revenge, oh, that's not my business. I don't need to be concerned about it. I don't need to deal with it. I don't need to carry it out. That's God's business. It's none of my business. What is it about us that we always like to live and know things that are outside of our business? They talk about that in Scripture. They're called busybodies. And you and I do not need to be busybodies with revenge. Our anger will lead us, when it's not controlled, it will lead us into all kinds of trouble, and the devil will be at work in your life. And you'll think that it's all okay and it's right, and you carry this with you. And it should have been resolved at the end of the day. Do you understand that there are people around you who love you and are close to you, and they have watched you get anger, or they wonder, you know, I like them, I love them, but there's just something that's just not, you know, why doesn't it flow easier? What kind of barrier? What's going on? You know what it is? They're angry about something that happened a long time ago. Anger does not bring about the righteous works of God. That's what the Scripture says. Anger, uncontrolled, not checked. I'm not going to have you turn there, but I'm going to read this, and I'm going to tell you then where it's at, because I don't want you to be preoccupied with turning pages. I just want you to listen to this. My dear brothers, my dear sisters in the faith, it says, take note of this. In other words, there's a lot that's being written. I want you to pay attention to it all. But you know what? Make a note of this. Put this one a little closer to the forefront of your mind. Highlight this one. Put this one in bold. Underline it. Put quotations around it. Write it down and stick it on your fridge. Make it into a magnet. Write a post-it note and stick it on your mirror. Make a note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen. Say this with me. I should be quick to listen. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak. I should be quick to listen. Slow to speak. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to become angry. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. For man's anger does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. God knows what it is to be angry. It's not that he doesn't know, that he doesn't understand. He knows what it is to get angry. And he also knows what it is to keep anger in check. And aren't you and I glad? Because if he didn't, you and I would not have lived to be this old. He'd have had a reason a long time ago to squash me. Our anger unchecked does not bring about the righteous life that God desires. Hear that. Hear the part about God's desire. God's desire is that you have a right life. But anger unchecked, unresolved, it leads you to sin, and it's not resolved in the time frame of day. Begins to produce a life of wrong things, corrupt things, a distorted view of life and relationships that we think are clear. And it does not bring about a right life, the right life that God desires. People say all the time, oh, well, if he was God, why would he let this happen? If he was God, why did it? Listen, God didn't bring it about. Somewhere along the line, somebody got angry. And they didn't resolve it. And because of that, the devil got at work. And they stayed angry, never was resolved. They carried out vengeance. They get mad. They don't know how to deal with it. And it just continues to build and it continues to spread. And it goes against God's desire for you. God's desire for you, because he loves you and cares about you, is that you would have a right life. That's what it says. But if we are not quick to listen, and if we are not slow to speak, and if we are quick to get angry, we're in trouble. Some of you in this room need some anger stuff resolved from whenever. Some of us just need to step into, you know what, I've got to make note of this. I better be slow to speak, quick to listen, and I better be slow to become angry. Because I'm going to give the enemy a foothold to work in my life and in my family and in my friends and on the job with my coworkers. This is very practical this morning. This is about Christian living. This is about living a life that God desires for us and us being able to live in it. I want you to know something, that someone can hurt you and you can get angry about it. And if it's resolved and dealt with, do you understand that you can live the rest of the days of your life without love being hindered? That you can still trust after being hurt? I don't know if somebody's ever told you that. You can still trust after being hurt. You can still love after your heart being broken. Just in case. Probably not going to happen. You're hilarious, dude. You can love and trust after you have been hurt, mistreated, misrepresented. If you resolve it with God, do you understand that you can still walk free? Your anger and sin in that anger does not free you. You have made yourself a prisoner to darkness. I don't care how much you come to church. I don't care how well you know the songs. I don't care how much scripture you read. If you and I do not let it penetrate to who we are, it does us no good. And it just, in fact, it just builds the layers of deception. I got angry. I feel I'm right. I didn't resolve it. I can still go to church. I can still sing the songs. And we do the what appears to be the right things. But there's this spiritual cancer that we never dealt with. And this thing grows inside us until it saps us of all life. God doesn't want that for you. Doesn't want that for me. I'm going to give you a little prophetic word. If you are in this room and you have not resolved something that you were hurt and you got so angry and never resolved it in your life, and you've even gone through Christian life, or maybe in this room you're not a Christian, but you're kind of thinking about it, you're not sure, and you have this stuff in you, I want you to know something. If you resolve that stuff genuinely because of your faith in Christ, and you let it really get resolved in you, I want you to know something. You can actually be a happy person. And it's going to make some people around you delighted. They love you now, but you will be a delight to them. Anger has robbed you. And it's the very thing that Jesus got angry about, is that people were being oppressed. Do you understand that anger, unchecked and not resolved by the end of the day, will rob you? And that upsets God. Doesn't mean he's mad at you. Doesn't mean that. He could be angry with you. But he's angry. He's so angry because you're being robbed. And he came, according to Luke chapter 4, he said, I am anointed to preach the gospel. And one of the things he says he's anointed to do was to release the oppressed. And your anger has oppressed you. And you walk around with this little cloud of darkness over you. You don't see it anymore. Some see it. Some can't identify it. They know something's up. It's this anger issue has never been resolved. And when it's resolved, the dark cloud goes away. And the light comes and joy comes. In fact, some of you are going to have to start to live different if you really let this happen. Because you're going to have that moment of freedom, and then you're going to want to go back to living the same old patterns, and it doesn't fly. You actually get to be happy now. The kingdom of God is this: righteousness, peace. I'm not making this up. Apostle Paul wrote this under the inspiration of God's Spirit. The kingdom of God is this: righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit.
Woo! Got him like that.
Thank you, Gino. Gino, I'd like you to go around and touch about 15 people in different places. And then we'll just kind of let it spread from there. Do you understand that's what the kingdom of God is about? And if the kingdom of God is about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, you think of the kingdom of God as some futuristic thing that after we die or we're raptured, we get to go be there. This is what the church is supposed to be like to get us ready for the fullness. So the kingdom of heaven, or church, should be about righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's what we're supposed to be about.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.